Blessing to be here today, and I appreciate the invitation and all of you who came out for today's conference. And the subject that I'll be preaching about is crossing cultural barriers with the gospel. And even if you've never been in another country, all of us have experienced cultural barriers. You know, when you're going to the grocery store and you see that person who's dressed very differently than you. Maybe they're even speaking another language, and you kind of keep your distance. After all, you aren't really sure what to say to them. Maybe they don't even know English, and you just kind of keep away, perhaps. And even if they do speak English fluently, those cultural differences of how we look, how we act, those things can create barriers. But we need to overcome those cultural barriers with the gospel. And so I'll just have 2 points this morning, and hopefully we won't go in into lunchtime at all. I know all of us are looking forward to the box lunches. And so, first of all, our first point is, why cross cultural barriers? You know, after all, we all have our comfort zone. And it's easier for us to reach people who look like us and act like us. We know where they're coming from and we know how to talk to them. Why not just reach the people that we're comfortable with? Why should we even venture out to cross cultural barriers? Well, let's take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28. A familiar scripture to all of us, as Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission after his death and resurrection. He said to his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28 and verse 19. Jesus then said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Notice what Jesus told them. He told them to teach all nations. Now the word translated nations here is the Greek word ethnos, and we get the word ethnic, like ethnic group, from that. Sometimes we have to think of nations as in political nations. Well, at this time in history, they didn't have lots of nations like Germany and France and Spain. They had the Roman Empire. But within that Roman Empire, they had many different groups of people. And the same is true today. In the United States, in Canada, in Turkey, in China, in those geographic areas, those political boundaries, are many different people groups. Right here in Cincinnati, there are so many different people groups. And each one of those groups needs the message of the gospel. And Jesus told his disciples, he commanded them to make disciples, to teach all of those people groups, all nations. That is the command that we have received. And also in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me." Where will they be witnesses? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice how the movement is from one central spot, Jerusalem, where they were currently located, where Jesus died and rose again. They'll start there and then take that message out. All Judea, all the villages and towns in that area. And then to Samaria, you know, those people that are different from us, those people we love to hate. We'll take it there. And then we'll take it to the uttermost part of the earth. And Jesus' disciples followed that. They went out to different places, different people, sharing the message of the gospel. And because of that, you and I are here in Cincinnati, Ohio today, having heard the gospel, having trusted Christ as our Savior, meeting together for this conference, because the Word of God went out into the world. And we need to continue to take it out to the uttermost part of the earth. And so we see Jesus' command, but we also see that the gospel itself, the gospel message, it overcomes the things that divide us. There are many things that can divide people. Political opinions, a physical appearance, our background, where we grew up, how we grew up, our home situation, so many different things. Personality, there are so many things that can divide people from each other and cause us to draw our circles where we say, this is my group, these are my people, these people are my people and I'm comfortable here. But aren't you glad that the gospel, it breaks down, it overcomes the things that divide us. We may look, talk, and act differently, but each one of us is created in the image of God. And we come to God the same way. I love how my pastor says, Brother Joe Head, that the ground is level at the cross. How do we come to God? We come as sinners. Whether we're American or Chinese, whether our skin is white or black, we come to God as sinners in need of salvation. Romans 3 and verse 23, we all know this scripture. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes the whole human race. Verse 9 says, what then? Are we better than they? Well, that's what we think sometimes. We think, my group is better than that group over there. And we may emphasize their problems and minimize our problems. But what does it say here in Romans 3? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Right. It doesn't matter what group we call our group. All of us have the same problem. All of us have the same need. Our problem is sin, and our need is God's salvation. The gospel overcomes those barriers and differences. Because God's work of salvation gives us a new identity. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Paul is writing about this new identity that we have in Christ that overcomes the things that divide us. He says in Galatians 3 verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. What is that new identity? We are the children of God. It's now not about external differences. It's now not about internal differences. It's now not about our backgrounds. We are children of God in Christ Jesus. He says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We have all put on the same identity. That identity is Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. Notice the first thing that often divides people, those ethnic and cultural differences. They don't matter anymore. Jew or Greek doesn't matter anymore because we have put on Christ. We are a new creature in Christ. It says there is neither bond nor free. Wow, that's a big difference. Back in the time of Paul, being a bond person was something that you were because of your economic situation. If you were poor, most likely you would have been a bond servant. If you were rich, then you were a free person, maybe even a business owner. Maybe you had a large villa. But you know what? That doesn't matter in Christ. It doesn't matter whether you're a bond person or a free man with a huge villa. In Christ, we are a new creature. We are a child of God by faith. It's neither male nor female. And I'm not even going to get into all the debates in our modern world about gender. But you know what? Throughout history, there has been oppression because of gender differences. But in Christ, it doesn't matter. We come the same way as sinners in need of salvation. Those differences are overcome by the gospel. And we receive that new identity, being a child of God by faith, putting on Jesus Christ. And that's why people from those diverse backgrounds could gather together in the local church to praise God with one voice. Brother Gordon, I appreciate the songs that you've been leading us in. And just as we were singing Alleluia, I was just thinking, wow, this is just a taste of what it will be like in heaven. You know, in heaven, we're not going to be focusing on all the things that divide us here. We're going to be praising God in unity. And in the local church, we can have a little bit of what we will have in heaven. When the things that divide us here, they just fall away. And we are united as we look toward God and worship Him as His children. We see that the gospel overcomes those differences. These differences in our world are a source of pride. I think that's why we build them up. It's a way for us to say, I'm better than those people over there. That's why we like to focus on these differences. No matter what that difference is that we're focusing on, it's a way for us to stoke and stroke our pride. But now we can say with Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. What I am in Christ, it's not because of my merit. It's not because of the religious works I've done. I appreciate what you said, Brother Pearson, about how religion is a main problem that we have. No, it's not because of me. It's all because of Christ. It's not about pride anymore. The new identity we have in Christ, it's only by His grace. All glory goes to Him. Here's just a thought that we could consider. Go ahead and scroll through the points here. Here's a picture of the time when we were in Turkey. We were there for about 5.5 years. It might be hard to see some of the people, but over here on your right is Yücel, and his wife Simal. Over here next to me is a man named Nurhan and Tuncay, and some of them are from different parts of Turkey. And you might look at them and say, wow, they look a lot different from me. And they do. They have a different language and a different culture. But they have trusted in Christ as their Savior. If we really get a hold of this truth of how the gospel overcomes the things that divide us, I believe you and I would feel more comfortable talking to and fellowshipping with a saved Muslim, a Muslim that has repented and come to Christ by faith, than with a lost American that looks like us and acts like us and dresses like us and roots for the Bengals and the Cincinnati Reds. No, we would have more in common and more to fellowship with someone from a completely different background and culture who knows Christ as their Savior. If we really get a hold of how the gospel overcomes these differences. Going on to the next slide, I've already alluded to it, but let's just take a small glimpse of heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Revelation 5 and verse 8 and 9, we see just a glimpse into heaven and what is going on there. Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb. Having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Again, in heaven there will be people saved by God's grace from every group of people, every language group, every cultural group. They will be there in heaven praising God and praising the Lamb, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us by His blood. So as we see that there will be diversity in heaven. People from every cultural group, and that's what God desires. Now I know that for probably most of us, the word diversity is a negative word, because in this world today, in our modern culture, it's connected with things like being tolerant and inclusive of immorality. But just having diversity, like cultural diversity, is not a bad thing. The fact that we speak different languages, wear different types, styles of clothing. Right here in this room, we see different styles of clothing represented. And that's perfectly okay. It's not that one way is the right way and every other way is wrong. No. If we look at nature, in fact, we see that diversity is built in. God didn't create just one kind of flower, one kind of butterfly, one kind of fish. I mean, I would think that just one butterfly could do all the work, but no. Have you ever seen all the different shapes and sizes and colors? God must love variety. And as we see what happened after people dispersed over the earth after the flood, we see so many differences between us. And it's not that one is better than the other. God loves variety. We see also that Christianity is not tied to any one particular culture. Now, that's not true in other religions. The religion of Islam is tied to a particular culture in our world. But Christianity isn't. We don't have a holy language where if you want to read the Bible, you have to learn Latin or Greek or Hebrew. Rather, we translate it into thousands of languages so people can read it in their own native tongue and hear God speaking to them in their native language. We don't have cultural habits, for the most part, that you must follow. How you have to wash your hands. What kind of shirt you should wear. How you should brush your teeth. In fact, I don't even know how Jesus brushed his teeth. Do any of you know how Jesus brushed his teeth? Did he use Crest or Colgate? I don't know. And really, it doesn't matter. Although some people, because they are so tied to culture, I met some people in Turkey who were telling me that they knew how Muhammad brushed his teeth. And Colgate even came out with a special toothpaste in Turkey that used the same material that Muhammad used to brush his teeth. So, there you go. Maybe that's a reason to use Colgate, I don't know. But you don't have to become an American to become a Christian.
Amen.
I think of Hudson Taylor, who went to Turkey, and he was criticized for wearing the clothes that Chinese people wore and dressed and fixing his hair the way that Chinese people fixed their hair. People criticized him for that. But he recognized that you don't have to cut your hair a certain way or wear certain clothes to be a Christian. He wanted to be received by their culture and seen as part of their culture. Now, of course, we need wisdom as we examine different issues and we say, what is truth and what is just part of American culture and tradition? And I'm not going to get into all of that. That will be for all of us to search out on our own, because we don't want to compromise on the truth, but we don't want to hold up just our American culture and tradition as if it is the truth when it's not. I think of Psalm 86, verses 9 and 10. And I think this is a good thing for us to think about. Psalm 86, verses 9 and 10, which says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone.
Amen.
That should be the desire of our hearts. And I know how I am. I know how we are. Sometimes the desire of our heart is that our group, whatever that group might be, that our group will win and the other side will lose. But really the desire of our hearts should be that God will receive worship from every nation, every people group, that they will know how great He is, how good He is, the grace that He has shown, the mercy He has shown to us in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That they will worship Him. That they will see His wonderful works that He has done and know that He is God alone.
Amen.
So that should be the desire of our hearts. And so we see why we should cross those cultural barriers. But now, how? What is the practical aspect? How do we cross those cultural barriers? And here's just a picture of one of the English classes that I teach. And I teach English classes and Bible studies here to reach out to the international community. And here in this picture, you can see some Chinese people, a lady from India. You see some people from Turkey and the Middle East. And God created each one of those people in His image. And He cares about them. We see that God loves diversity. And we should desire that people from each of these people groups will know God and worship Him. So let's take a look at how to cross those cultural barriers. How do we cross cultural barriers? First of all, if you would turn with me to Acts 17. Acts chapter 17. I'll try to slow down a bit so everyone can turn there. Acts chapter 17. And we'll be looking at verse 22 as Paul goes to Mars Hill to reach people that are from a very different background as him. And he's going to speak to them about the message of the gospel. We see that we need to find common ground. And we see how Paul, there on Mars Hill, found common ground with these people that culturally were very, very different from him. Their background was different. Their experiences were different. The way that they thought and acted was very different. And of course, their beliefs were very different. Yet he finds common ground to share the message of the gospel with them. Acts 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now in Athens they had so many temples, so many idols. They even had a temple, an altar with the inscription, To the unknown God. It was for the God they didn't even know. Paul knew that they did not know the one true God. And so he used that inscription as a way to begin teaching them about the God that they didn't even know. He says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. We see how Paul begins with creation here, speaking about how God made the world and how he made us. That's some common ground that you and I can find with every single person on this planet, no matter how different they may be from us, because all of us are created by God, created in his image. We have similar emotions. We all experience joy, anger, sorrow. We can find common ground with those, with other people. We have similar dreams. Perhaps we want a better life for our children. We want them to be successful. We want to leave a legacy behind. People from other cultures desire the same things. We can find common ground there. We have similar fears. Failure, rejection. People all over the world have those fears. And most of all, the fear of death. we have those things that are in common. We can share with them, build upon those things to share the message of the gospel with them. Continuing on here in Acts, we see that we can talk about cultural similarities and differences as a way to start a conversation about the gospel. Look at what Paul says here in verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Whether you're from Japan or from Saudi Arabia, God is not far away. He is not far away from any one of us. Whether you're from Coleraine or from downtown Cincinnati, God is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Notice how Paul quotes some of the poets. And I'm guessing these were not Christian poets. These were some of the great poets. But Paul found in them something that was true. We find something that's true, it belongs to God. All truth, I believe, belongs to God. And so he used their own poets to bring home a point about who God is. In him we live and move and have our being. Our dependence upon God, the greatness of God. God isn't a statue. He's the one who made us. Every breath we take. And while we've been thinking about that lately, you know, with COVID-19 and all the other things, aren't you glad that the breath that we take is a gift from God?
Amen.
It is because of him we have our being, our existence this day. And so we can show interest in their culture. Not everything about their culture is bad. I'm sure there will be many things about whatever person that is that you're seeking to reach, whether they're Muslim or Hindu or Buddhist, you will find many things in their culture that are evil and negative. But you will also find some things that are good. We can show interest in their culture, asking about their foods, trying their foods, finding out about their holidays, about what life is like for them as they grow up, and maybe what music and movies they like to listen to and watch. We can show genuine interest in them as a person and in their culture. This is something that I thought about and struggled with sometimes, because I find that sometimes you and I, we tend to show interest and care and love to somebody because we want them to come to Christ. And I think that's a good thing. But what if they don't come to Christ? Do we then just forget about them and go on to the next person? Or do we continue to love them, continue to show them that we care about them, even if when they hear the gospel, they don't immediately respond? Because you see, oftentimes people from a very different cultural background, whether it's a Muslim background, or a Buddhist or an atheist background, they don't respond to the gospel the first time they hear it, or even the second or third or tenth time. For many of them, it takes a long time for it to break through those barriers in their hearts. They've been taught their whole life that believing in Christianity is wrong, and that Jesus is only a prophet, and that if you believe something else, you'll be condemned in hell forever. It takes a long time for those barriers to be broken down in their hearts. Even for us. How many times do we go to church? How many times do we hear the preacher preach, and our hearts still resisted the message of the gospel? Let's show compassion and care. And even if they don't respond in a positive way, let's keep showing them the love of God. We can learn about their history, the history of their country, the geography, the sports that they like. What city are you from? Finding out about where they come from, showing interest. And we can use that as a way to share the gospel. Just one example that I'll give. A Muslim holiday is coming up very soon, named Qurban Bayram. If you have a Muslim friend, you can ask them about it. At this holiday, they usually take a sheep or a lamb. Could be something larger, but usually some animal like that. And they kill it. And then they cook the meat and they share it together. And they do this to celebrate how Abraham killed a ram in place of his son. I think most of you are familiar with that, the story of Abraham and Isaac, and how God told Abraham to give his son as a sacrifice. But then that ram was sacrificed in place of Isaac. Now for Muslims, they don't believe it was Isaac, they believe it was Ishmael. I don't argue the point with them. The point that I want to emphasize is that God provided. And God has provided for us as well, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who took the punishment that we deserve. It's so easy to get sidetracked off onto this issue and that issue. Oftentimes politics will come up. And instead of talking about the gospel, we'll be arguing about politics. Let's not take the rabbit trail. Focus on the gospel. And so let's be, point number two, share the gospel clearly. Don't get sidetracked. Maybe we need to begin with creation. For many people, they don't accept the fact that God is our creator. We need to lay that foundation of God as the creator of the world, the creator of people. We need to be careful to explain things that they might not understand. If they didn't grow up in Sunday school, they won't understand many of the terms that we know naturally as Christians. Just one example, sin. What is sin? What is repentance? We can't say those words and just think they will understand what they mean. We'll have to explain and unpack those terms. We need to show them their need of a Savior. And we need to tell them what Jesus did for them. Paul explained the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 6. And he talks about how the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And he talks about how they were witnesses who saw the risen Christ. We can show them that there is historical evidence that backs up the Christian faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But most of all, let's make it personal. Share our own testimony of how God saved us. We can debate history. We can debate this issue and that issue. But tell them what happened to you. Tell them how God saved you. And how that same message of the gospel is for them. It can change their life too. And number three, remember the key. It's already been preached about. Love. God's love.
Amen.
Because it doesn't matter how much we know, how much we try to cross those barriers, if we don't show them the love of God, what use is it? As 1 Corinthians 13 says, it doesn't matter how we speak, how many selfless acts we do, if it's still grounded in pride or me trying to show how great I am, if it's not grounded in love, what good is it? I remember a lady in Turkey who told me she heard the gospel. She heard this argument and that argument. But what finally changed her heart to where she accepted Christ is when she saw that the love was real. When she saw God's love in His people.
Amen.
Thank you.